With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
At the UPS Store, we know being a small business owner means holiday time is still go time. Still get those orders shipped time. And still re-up on stamps and supplies time. That's why this upcoming holiday, while others close up shop, we'll be open and happy to help you keep being unstoppable. Come into your local store today. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS Store. Be unstoppable.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping straight into the analysis, really focusing on what came out of Token 2049 in Singapore this year, 2025.
Yeah, and it really feels different this time around.
It does. I mean, the research we've looked at, it's calling this a seismic moment for crypto, which sounds like hype, but honestly, the numbers seem to back it up.
Absolutely. Over 25,000 people.
Yeah, 25,000 attendees, something like 160-plus countries, all packed into Marina Bay Sands. It basically became the world's, you know, temporary crypto capital for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So our mission today is really to decode what that huge gathering actually signaled. And the main takeaway, the thing we keep seeing, is that the industry seems to have finally grown up into this multidimensional ecosystem.
Right.
We want to give you that strategic roadmap for the next, say, 18 months. We'll cover the big stuff, real-world assets, AI, but also regulation, even, surprisingly, meme culture.
And what's really interesting, I think, is the shift in tone you mentioned. It felt less about just, you know, speculative buzz and much more focused on actual strategy.
Yeah.
Having all those decision makers in one place, it gave this surprisingly clear blueprint for where the development effort and maybe more importantly, the money is actually going.
Right. The capital flow.
It's a definite move towards utility, towards real infrastructure. So, okay. Let's maybe unpack that blueprint. Let's look at where the industry is placing its biggest bets for, well, 2025 and beyond.
Okay, so if we think back, like 2021 was all about the JPEG craze.
Right.
NFTs. And then maybe 2023 was the year of layer two scaling solutions.
Mm-hmm.
What really jumped out from the research this time was that the focus shifting. It seems to be coalescing around three sort of major forces defining this next cycle.
Okay.
And these priorities, they seem to cover survival, expansion, and intelligence, they are.
Yeah.
Quantum security, RWA, that's tokenized assets, and DAI, decentralized AI.
Right. Let's start with the foundation then, the security piece.
Yeah.
Because the threat from quantum computing, it was tackled head on. They even had a segment called Quantum Day.
Quantum Day. Yeah, I saw
right.
that.
And this isn't just like future-proofing. The analysis calls it an existential priority. You had industry leaders basically sounding the alarm.
Seriously?
Yeah, because if quantum computers get powerful enough, and the timeline is uncertain but closing, the cryptography that secures everything, Bitcoin, Ethereum, you name it, it's fundamentally vulnerable.
Oh, wow.
So the race is really on now to get post-quantum crypto solutions deployed before that threat becomes, you know, an actual market crisis. It's this quiet but really critical arms race happening underneath everything else.
Okay, so securing the base layer, that's step one. Step two seems to be about expansion, pushing crypto into the real economy with RWA, real-world assets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, RWA, that term's been around for ages.
It has.
What actually changed to Token 2049? Why does the smart money suddenly think the friction, the operational hurdles, are finally being overcome?
That's the key question, isn't it? And the difference now seems to be execution. The feeling is RWA isn't just a concept anymore. It's seen as the actual bridge to mainstream adoption. What felt different was just the sheer number of sort of institutional-grade tokenization platforms being shown off. We saw huge VC interest, really focusing on projects tokenizing specific regulated assets.
Like what specifically?
Things like high-grade bonds, institutional real estate funds, commodities, stuff that unlocks trillions in traditional finance if you can move it efficiently onto a blockchain, whether that's permission or public.
Right.
It really confirms that RWA integration is becoming like a fundamental piece of financial plumbing, not just another speculative vertical.
Okay, plumbing. I like that. And the third priority, DAI momentum, shows the future isn't just secure and tokenized, it's also going to be, well, intelligent.
Yeah.
Now, for listeners, when they hear AI, they probably think OpenAI, these huge centralized giants.
Exactly.
So what's the core difference? Why is the investment flowing into decentralized AI, DAI?
Yeah, that's crucial context. DAI basically takes AI models and the data they use and puts them onto distributed networks. Think secure, transparent, no single tech giant controlling everything.
Okay, so distributed control.
Right. And investors like that because it offers things like genuine data ownership for users, resistance to censorship, and you can actually verify the computations. The applications getting funded weren't just theories either.
What did you see?
We saw actual demos of things like self-optimizing trading strategies running on DAI, pretty sophisticated predictive analytics for market moves, and even fully automated secure contract execution. It's moving beyond chatbots into really efficient autonomous market tools.
That's a really potent mix. Quantum security for survival, RWA for expansion, DAI for efficiency. But those are huge architectural shifts.
Yeah.
What about the existing crypto sectors? How are they changing to maybe handle, say, the next 100 million users, making things, you know, simpler day to day?
Yeah, absolutely. In areas like DeFi, the big push is all about scale and simplicity. For a long time, using DeFi felt pretty complex, right? Like needing a manual.
Definitely.
But the new protocols were showcasing these seamless cross-chain liquidity layers.
Okay, what does that mean in practice?
Well, think about moving assets between, say, Ethereum and Solana. Historically, that was clunky. Multiple steps, high fees, kind of risky.
Right, hoping your funds make it.
Exactly. These new layers are like building a high-speed rail system between blockchains. Makes it smooth, much lower friction, lower gas fees. That's the crucial shift from just experimenting to building robust infrastructure.
That friction reduction, that feels key for bringing in new people. And we also saw DeFi focusing more on institutional needs too, didn't we? Things like institutional-grade lending, on-chain treasury management.
Precisely. You're seeing major protocols tweaking their risk models, their compliance frameworks, really trying to meet the needs of corporate treasuries, large funds.
So grown-up finance stuff.
Yeah, basically. The infrastructure is getting mature enough to handle complex financial products, making yield generation, governance, all that stuff accessible, not just to crypto natives, but to, you know, professional finance orgs.
And talking about scaling the user base, we have to mention gaming and NFTs, because the hype around JPEGs, that initial speculative bubble, it's definitely faded.
Mm-hmm.
But the research suggests NFTs have quietly evolved. They're not just speculative anymore. They're becoming core components of digital economies. What does that mean?
That's a really important distinction. NFTs are becoming true utility assets. They carry verifiable information, value within digital worlds. We saw projects weaving NFTs deep into game ecosystems.
So not just avatars.
No, not just collectibles, using them as keys to unlock, say, advanced play-to-earn models or new ways to monetize based on actual user participation and provable ownership.
Okay.
And this creates this really powerful synergy. The analysis points to this laying the groundwork for a future where gaming with its huge user base and DeFi with its financial tools, they become almost indistinguishable.
Wow.
Yeah, like the assets you earn playing a game could instantly be used as collateral in a DeFi loan.
It's amazing. The industry is tackling quantum physics on one side and, like, financializing gaming on the other. But it wasn't all just tech and institutions, right? Two forces that maybe seemed peripheral before sustainability and meme culture, they're now being framed as essential strategic things to watch.
That's right. Quite the contrast.
Let's start with green blockchains. Why is sustainability suddenly essential for market differentiation? Isn't it just good PR?
It's more than that now, because policy and capital are kind of forcing the issue. You've got rising regulatory pressure, especially in places like Europe, parts of Asia.
Right, ESG focus.
Exactly. So projects that prioritize energy efficient consensus, think proof of stake versus proof of work and carbon neutral operations, they're actively gaining favor with regulators and investors.
So it's actually a competitive edge.
It really is. If your blockchain is demonstrably cleaner, more efficient, you lower your regulatory risk profile and you attract that growing pool of ESG-focused institutional money. It's just smart business now.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, for the complete flip side, the wild card, meme coins. Far away from high compliance, green bonds, the analysis said meme coins had their own breakout moment. They're now a headline driver, not just, quote, speculative noise.
Yeah, the power of narrative, you just can't deny it. Meme culture is now seen as this really potent force. It can shape market sentiment incredibly quickly and drive huge amounts of immediate liquidity.
And this was actually happening at the conference.
It was underscored, yeah. Several tokens themed around 2049 just exploded on Deca's aggregators like Desk Screener right around the event dates.
Huh. But why is this important? Beyond just, you know, crazy speculation, what does it mean for the bigger market picture?
It means that community engagement, that raw narrative power, it's now a measurable source of alpha, of potential profit.
Really? Alpha from memes?
Well, these meme narratives get massive community engagement, right? And that translates directly into very fast liquidity deployment. So for sophisticated on-chain analysts tracking social media buzz, wallet movements around these cultural trends, it's identified as a real alpha opportunity.
Okay.
It signals retail enthusiasm and rapid capital flows in a way that, frankly, institutions can't totally ignore, even if they aren't buying the meme coins themselves.
So, okay, we've got existential tech threats, seamless ecosystems being built, green pressures creating advantages, and market narratives driven by internet culture. It sounds almost chaotic, but there has to be some structure, right?
Yeah.
And connecting it all, the big message seems to be institutions are all in, they're here, and they're demanding the framework they need.
That institutional presence, it was probably the loudest signal at Token 2049.
Yeah.
And the regulatory environment, particularly in some key areas, seems to be providing some tailwinds.
Yeah, the analysis definitely picked up on the political context. It specifically noted the perceived pro-crypto stance from the U.S. under President Trump, or at least the ambition for the U.S. to be a Bitcoin superpower.
Right.
And that perception, whether you agree with the politics or not, it seems to be fueling new capital, stablecoin innovation, just because it suggests a level of potential government backing that wasn't there before.
It absolutely creates a sense of confidence, or at least reduced fear. And when you physically see heavyweights there, the CME group, leaders from major hedge funds, even political figures, the conversation shifts.
How so?
They're actively defining what they need for the next phase. They're demanding regulatory clarity. They need institutional-grade infrastructure. And they want integrated financial products.
Hmm.
The industry isn't just sort of hoping for legitimacy now. It feels mature enough to actually demand the tools required to onboard trillions.
That's a pretty bold claim, demanding the tools.
Right.
But if we look at what institutions are actually asking for, it gives listeners, you know, a concrete checklist. What were the actual actionable insights?
Yep.
Where is the smart money really looking to deploy over the next year or so?
Yeah. The investor checklist for, say, 2026 is kind of being written right now. And the projects getting the most attention from the top VCs, they seem to share three key characteristics. It shows a real shift away from just funding cool ideas.
Okay. What are they?
First, they needed proven traction. Real users, real activity, specifically in those high-priority areas we talked about, DeFi, RWA, or DAI.
Right, not just a white paper.
Exactly. Second, clear utility and scalability. Can this thing actually work if millions of people use it? Can it handle the volume without falling over?
Makes sense.
And third, maybe the most important shift, sustainable revenue-generating models. VCs are looking for actual businesses now. Things that generate fees have a path to profitability. The purely speculative phase feels pretty much over. It's business model time.
Proven traction, utility, and scale, and a real business model. That investor checklist, that feels like the ultimate takeaway for anyone trying to figure out where things are heading. And it really confirms that maturity theme we've been tracking.
Mm-hmm.
So just to try and synthesize all this. Token 2049, 2025, it really felt like confirmation of a turning point. Crypto isn't just this niche asset class anymore. It's shaping up to be a global financial ecosystem.
Yeah.
An ecosystem being shaped by everything from memes to quantum physics, getting enriched by real-world assets, and powered by decentralized AI.
And the analysis really strongly suggests that everyone involved, traders, investors, builders, they have to stop thinking in silos. You can't just look at institutional adoption over here and AI developments over there and retail sentiment somewhere else.
They're all connected now.
they're deeply intertwined forces.
Okay.
Which leads to, I think, the important question for you, the listener, the learner. How are you going to adapt your own understanding, your own approach to a market where, like we said, meme narratives fuse with institutional adoption and DAI tools merge with RWA protocols? Understanding that complex, kind of messy, multidimensional fusion, that seems to be the key to navigating the market of 2026 and beyond.